24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything. 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 Everything.
Profanity Nation.
Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simpster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town, yeah.
It's the Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation.
Welcome to the Profanity Nation podcast. We are here again with Money Mike, Stat Pat, and Simpster. Welcome to the show. As always, follow us on Instagram at the Profanity Nation or on Twitter at the Profanity Nation and online, most importantly, theprofanitynation.com. And please, please, please call into our hotline, our fan hotline at 877-311-FANS. Let's start with you, Money Mike. How you feeling tonight?
Doing pretty good today. It's Martin Luther King weekend. One of my other joys is being a Girl Scout dad, was able to march in the parade today, celebrate a legacy, so I'm doing real good today.
That's awesome.
Let's go.
That's awesome. Getting ready for the cookies and everything, huh?
Yeah. Girl Scout cookie season, January 26th, and it's going to be ready to go. If anybody wants any cookies, call our hotline. I'll get them to you.
There you go. Call the hotline. That's perfect. 877-311-FANS if you want your Girl Scout cookies. That's absolutely perfect. Stat Pat, know you're feeling a little bit under the weather tonight. Thanks for joining us. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm actually a little excited. I'm still, yeah, you said I'm under the weather, but that win against the Rockets without AD actually just lifted my spirit. So that was actually pretty good.
Excellent. Yeah, that was a great game. Let's go ahead and talk about that game, which was tonight as we're recording. That game just finished. That was Lakers versus Houston. Lakers won the game 124-115, but it wasn't always on the Lakers side. Really, Houston kind of had at least a bit of control of this game up until around the 8-minute mark of the third quarter. How did you like the bench play tonight, Scott Pat?
It was really, really good. In the first half of that game, their guards were taking advantage of our guards. So you saw, like, even though I love Caruso, but he was too small to guard Westbrook. Same thing. Bradley was having a problem with Harden, and then they made that adjustment in the second half, and they put Kuzma on Westbrook, I think, and it really did change the game. Kept him out of the paint, and made other people beat him.
Kuzma's length really stepped up and made a difference there?
Yes.
Excellent. Stat Pat, what did you Money Mike, what did you see tonight that you liked?
You know, I agree with Pat. I mean, definitely the bench. I mean, JaVale McGee made a couple of key blocks. Dwight was in there too. I'm really, really liking I'm actually more excited about our bench play in the last few games versus the starters, you know. Seems like they come out with the most energy, and they've really been putting on there, trying to put a, you know, staple on the game. So, thank God for them. Our boy Troy Daniels, you know, is been hitting really big shots. Quinn Cook also. But the defensive play was impressive to me, especially in the second half.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a great game. Definitely a great win. What I'm finding, and it's really nice to see, is, you know, what I'm hearing on the street from casual fans, that big win, which really was a big win against OKC with no LeBron and AD, I really think that turned the tide as far as people believing that we actually have a bench, we are deep, and we actually can compete there. Up until then, I think everyone questioned it, but just hearing from casual fans on the street as I talked to them, that game really seemed to make a difference. And I think that that didn't only change the fans' point of views, but I think that really added confidence to the bench players such as Troy and Quinn. And, you know, they really, really have stepped up and are playing well.
Yeah, you know, I was reading an article a couple of days ago, and they were talking about the game where they knew AD and LeBron was going to be out. And a lot of people had put that as a loss. They said Rondo and Kuz and a couple other players had stayed up to about 5 o'clock in the morning looking at that tape and just – talking about the game when they came out there and just dominated the whole game. So you could tell that that the bench player has a whole lot of confidence and chemistry. And I think that's going to take us far. I can't say, though, and again, I'm not, you know, trying to hate on LeBron or anything like that, but I don't feel – I'm still curious about what would happen – you know, down the stretch. I haven't seen, you know, the last 5 minutes, you know, two, three points, you know, how we're going to react to that. If we're going to get out and we dominate and play well, we can finish them off. But those real close games, I still want to see, you know, them pull those games out because that's what's going to be important in the playoffs.
I agree. I think that's been kind of questionable. I think most of the time when you have multiple stars on a team, you're always wondering who's going to take that last shot, who's it going to go to in money time. You know, of course, the common better would be on LeBron. That would be the bet. But LeBron has not necessarily stepped up in the last minutes of games. He's actually made some very poor decisions. So, you know, if it was up to you, you know, who would you like to see that ball going to if it wasn't LeBron? Who would you like to see that ball going to, Stat Pat?
Definitely right now, Kuzma. I think Kuzma likes that kind of shot. He likes hitting things at the buzzer. He looks for it. And he's had experience of hitting it, you know, more consistently than anyone on the team. And then also, you know, the fact that, you know, like you said, LeBron sometimes have questionable decisions. I mean, his free throw shooting in the fourth quarter is just, I don't know what to say about that. That's just really, it's like really frustrating. But he's made some good plays. I want to look at the stats really closely and see if he's making more shots when we're up. Does the percentage goes, is it higher than when we're behind? And that will, to me, that's another indicator of, like, you know, someone's being, you know, clutch or not. I do like the fact that we do have Kuzma can take those shots. But also shout out to, you know, Troy Daniels and Quinn Cook. You know, they're you know, using or coming in the game for those Rondo minutes. And there was opportunities there that was not, you know, taking advantage of, especially when it comes to running the pick and roll and being able to hit that medium range jumper that is pretty much they invite Rondo to take. They don't have such luck now because we do have shooters on the court that actually can make those shots. So yeah, you know, I do like the fact that Kuzma would be the person that would be taking the last shot, but. You know, I do think we have KCP is another guy that's also stepped up right now. So I wouldn't be too upset if he took the shot as well.
Excellent, excellent. Next game coming up. That's a big one. Classic rivalry. Lakers versus Boston. Boston's playing well. Boston just seems to find a way to compete every year. It doesn't matter. Injuries, players leave, new players arrive. They just seem to compete every year. Is that player, is that culture, or is that the coach, Michael?
You know, I think it's everything. I think it's the rivalry, you know, when, well, obviously anytime when the Lakers come in town, you know, people are going to get up for it. But again, if you have two teams that are good, ready to go, you know, head to head, you know, they definitely have a great coach over there. They are great players, great talent all the way around. It's going to be one of those see who wants it more. I think it'll be a close game, and it's going to be a dogfight, from beginning to the end. So, I'm really interested in to see because, again, when the games are close, when they're tough, when they're grimy, when the play has to be made towards the end, I may get my wish at this time to see, hey, you know, 4 points down, 2-3 minutes left, let's see who can come out on top. Because, they definitely have the players over there that are going to want to take you out. And I wonder if we're going to have the same thing.
Gotcha. Do you think this whole LeBron at the end of the game, obviously if he was a younger player, you'd say maybe it's a confidence issue with his free throws, poor decision-making, things like that. Obviously, we're not going to go there and say he has any sort of confidence issue because that would just be ridiculous at this point. But what is it? What's happening? What are we seeing that for some reason in those situations, LeBron is underachieving, and not just underachieving, but underachieving by a wide margin? What do you think that is there, StatPat? Is he overthinking it? Is he how do you explain that?
Yeah, it does seem like he's out there thinking. I mean, at the same time, he understands the magnitude of, him playing for the Lakers. And he's pretty much he has to understand that he's playing with the ghost of Kobe over his shoulder. Like, that's – anytime he misses a shot, there's one of them, he has to know there's going to be a large contingent of Laker fans are going to be like, see, Kobe would have made that, And so I also think that, he's the 17 years into the league. He doesn't have the athleticism as he did, like, say, when he was with Miami Heat. If it was Miami Heat LeBron, he would be dunking on everybody and wouldn't be, he wouldn't. I think that he would have physical advantages rather than now he's using the, his mental. He's trying to, be very smart on the court. So to really answer your question, I just think that maybe it could be just the situation that he's in, because I don't understand. Every time I look at him when he's in other teams, he doesn't play like that. He makes the right play for the most part. Maybe it's just the moment. Maybe it's, him being a Laker.
Money Mike, could it be fatigue at the end of the game?
No, I honestly, I wonder how much does he care? He's kind of already written what his legacy is. He went back to Cleveland, won them a championship. And I think it's one of those things where athletically he's still able to play, but he's at the end of his career in a sense where, does he really – how important is it for him to get a ring with the Lakers? Because I think his whole career and his whole mentality was, we got to – he needed to get it for Cleveland. So, him coming here, he has his, other distractions and, the media and his, what we can't say sports agency, but definitely is – TV, movie ventures and things like that. Does he really care? Like, is it important for him to have the fire that he had when he was with Cleveland to give him their first ring and give it to him? That's what I question. I just don't see that he has the fire. He has the ability to play and perform, but does he have the fire to really care enough if he wins or loses? And that's what I question about him.
Well, is there a playoff Bron that we're going to see that's going to step up at that point? Because we all know that his teams in the past and he himself would not necessarily play a ton of defense during the regular season. That wasn't his strong suit. And then towards playoff time and playoff season, when it counted, he would always step up and arrive. Do you think he's just, that's how he, again, does his load management? I mean, these wins are important, and there's definitely been games that you can't put the losses on him because we shouldn't have been in that position, but you can definitely put the questionable decision-making on him towards the end of the game. Right. And wonder what could have been or what should have been had it been handled a little differently, that's for sure.
I put the losses on them. Like that Orlando game, you know, we were in that game, but that it was one of the games where, again, you know, I never felt like he was going to take it over in a sense of, we're not going to lose this game. And I just want that feeling from him when it gets really close. I mean, honestly, that's my biggest concern. If we get up, you know, then we're all good. But my biggest concern is, like I said, that dog fight. If he's going, you know, want the ball, or he's going to make that play that's going to determine, you know, the win or loss. And does he have that fire or that dog? So, you know, the jury's out for me.
Still waiting to see, right?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I feel that, you know, you kind of questioned how much he cares. And I think you're justified to ask that question because he's accomplished so much. So you have to wonder how hungry he is. However, you know, that title in Cleveland, that's huge. But that kind of sticks and stays in Cleveland. I don't see that extends outside of Cleveland to anybody's to anybody else as far as satisfaction for a title. Miami's, the titles in Miami, those are great. But I feel like a Lakers title for LeBron – while he would never admit it, Cleveland would always have to be his number one. A Lakers title for LeBron would be massive. And we've talked about it before, Lakers being America's team. When the Lakers win, America's happy. When the Lakers and LeBron win, we'll wait to see what happens then. I think that could really jumpstart some things. Okay, so we're on this road trip. We have Boston. We see New York. We do the New York back-to-back. What are you hoping to see? Are we expecting to go undefeated on this trip here, Pat, or are we expecting to drop one? We have Houston, which we just won, Boston on Monday, then we've got the Knicks and the Nets back-to-back, and then Philly on Saturday. Are we going to take those? Are we going to sweep this road trip?
You know, honestly, I know people will like – want to say that it wouldn't matter if we lost a few of these games, but I really believe a 4-1 is what we, a 4-1 record on this 5-game road trip is something that we should be looking for to try to get have a slip up. But honestly, on paper, I mean, you can beat New York, you can beat Brooklyn, you know, and Philly. I mean, really, if AD is back, I really
no Embiid.
All right, and so. The advantages or, you know, trying to match up with us is going to be kind of hard, especially if AD comes back and all three of our bigs have been playing and they're playing well. So I think 4-1 is doable. Of course, 5-0 would send a message. It would shut up a lot of haters. But I would take a 4-1 road trip and hopefully, you know, get other people healthy. Maybe one of those games sit LeBron for a game, you know, and you know everyone's doing it, you know, so we might as well take advantage of it, especially when we have the luxury of our record.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we gotta leave. So.
Okay, so after that game on next Saturday, a week from today in Philly, we come back from that road trip, and then everyone always talks about the trap game when you come back from a long road trip. Well, it just so happens that our luck of the draw, the trap game, is the Clippers again. However, it is a Lakers home game, so it is the Clippers on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So we have a couple days off. We have a travel day on Sunday, maybe a day off on Monday, maybe a short practice, and then they're going to play the Clippers on Tuesday. As we spoke about earlier, this is a huge month for the Lakers. It really means a lot. It's time for them to make a stand. So, is this a trap game? Do we give them some leeway on this Clippers? Do we already just let this go and say whatever with the Clippers? Or are we still hung up on these? Are these still ego games here, Michael?
No, I mean, we got to beat the Clippers. I mean, simply.
It's still an ego game then.
No, I wouldn't even call it an ego game. You know, they get up for us. You know, they're losing to other teams. They're not playing as well against other teams, but they're playing well enough to be in the playoffs. And the fact that they're going to be in the playoffs and potentially we can meet them, and if they go in with the confidence of, you know, a 3-1 or, you know, a 4-0 at this point, you know, it's you know, anything can happen in the playoffs. And you do not want them to feel and remember, like, hey, yeah, we punched them in the mouth, but then they punched us in the mouth. We end up 2-2. Then we know both teams are capable of winning.
No. This isn't going to happen. This is how I see Doc playing this. This is all strategy here. He is going to go ahead, and he's going to go ahead and utilize load management. And you are not going to see Kawhi and or Paul George in these next two games because they're not going to take a chance on going even. Because without Kawhi or without Paul George in there, if the Lakers win, it doesn't matter because they didn't have their full squad. So that's my call. I don't think that we're going to see a full Clipper squad in these final two games. I don't think Doc's going to chance that. I think he's going to take the money that he has. He's playing with house money right now, and he's going to run. And he's going to say, hey, we'll see you in the playoffs, and we'll take it from there. He's not going to give the chance to the Lakers to get any more confidence or anything along those lines. It's just not going to happen. What do you think about that, Stat-Pat?
Yeah, I was thinking what you just said. It makes a lot of sense. If he did bring out a full squad against us, the edge that he once had, the mental aspect is kind of like you said. If we win that game, then we got one. We got one, and even if it's 3-1, we can say we got one on them. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I know a lot of people are like worried about them, and I know the Clippers are a good team. But for some reason, I just think it's going to be a lot different when the pressure of the playoffs comes, and they're staring at the team. Supposedly, they're trying to take the mantle from. Now, this team, the Lakers, are a team that is okay. They're used to it. This is what we do. That's new for them. And the guys, I mean, what happens if they do lose the first game, second game? They're down 2-0. You know, I mean, we don't know how they're going to react. I mean, so I'm still with the, you know, I think we just need to just play our game. And when we get to the playoffs, we'll go ahead and take care of it at that point.
What do you think, Michael? Do you think do you think that would be a good decision for Doc to sit and just ride out the momentum that they have and let what happens without their star or one of their stars or even both of them in there? What do you think? Is that a good strategy?
Let me just say I love Pat's confidence that we'll be able to take him out of the playoffs regardless. You know, yeah, Doc is a great coach. You can't put anything past him. If he does do that and we take them out, it definitely will have an asterisk per se. You know, yeah, you know, you guys beat us, but, you know, we didn't have Paul George or Kawhi in there. So that's what the locals would be saying. You know, that's what the Facebook would be like. Yeah, whatever. You know, we're going to see you guys in the playoffs. And it's not going to mean anything if he does that. I get why he possibly would do that. I mean, it would kind of make sense.
I mean, doesn't that put all the pressure on the Lakers? If they lose again without a Kawhi or Paul George now for a third time, and if we have our full squad, I mean, isn't that just – to me, that's just a brilliant move by a coach to do that. They have nothing to gain by winning, everything to lose by losing. Why even chance it? If they put out a squad without a star to win, it's just bonus.
Yep. We got to blow them up by 20. Like you have, if you have no Kawhi, no Paul George, And you know, you got, but you still got that damn Patrick Beverly. Yeah. But yeah, and we're full strength. We gotta blow them out. You know, from first quarter all the way through fourth. Like, never have them, never have the game be in doubt. Get to the point where if I'm watching the game, I'm just gonna turn it off because. It's just going to be a blowout. Uh-huh. It would have to be some
fourth
like
quarter
that
rest for the Stars.
Right. Yeah, definitely. It would have to be something like that, because if it's not, if it's competitive, if they are able to make any type of impact, if it's a close game with the Stars out there, it's a bad look on the Lakers. I mean, that's just – you know, that's just my feeling, especially with me just being uneasy with LeBron being able to close out games down the stretch anyway.
Right. Without feeling like you have that super go-to guy, or at least feeling like your go-to guy who should be your superstar isn't performing on that to that level at that time of the game. Okay, so obviously we're Laker fans, so as we move forward and as we get to these games, we're putting emphasis on how important these wins are. And like every Laker fan, if they don't win some of these games, we're going to be like, okay, well, now the next game's the most important. But it really is. And you know, you could even take the Clippers, for example. They're completely de-emphasizing the regular season with their load management and their stars, and they're emphasizing the playoffs. So if they have the luxury of doing that, we can do it as well, although we know it hurts because we're trying our hardest and we still lost. So right. It's not great, right, Pat?
Right. I mean, you would think that, like you said, you don't want – the fact that they're playing with house money, and if we lose that, then it's just like – you might as well, like, look at the sheet. And then say, well, you know what, dude, if AD, Paul George and Kawhi's not playing, forget it. We sit our two dudes out. Let's just, like, you know, like, we have a list. We have, like, let's rush one.
And we just going to make it even?
Or just one of them. Like, hell, I don't care if you want to sit both of them. But if we just sit one, we didn't play you with our full squad neither.
So yeah.
Even when, you know, we lose, we're playing with one superstar. But if you don't want to play with both of them, that's fine with you. But we didn't play you with our full strength either. And so so it's like, okay, well, then if we're, you know, this gamesmanship. Then
this game's chess, brother. This ain't checkers.
That's what I'm saying. I would love for Vogel to engage. Like, seriously.
That's funny. That is total gamesmanship and strategy from coaches. But I could see it happening. I could really see it happening. If I was the coach of the Clippers playing with the house money, I would take that approach. I would. There's just no reason to go any other route. You might as well go that route and take advantage of what you got going your way. Yeah. Okay, so, you know, All-Star, and there's a little bit of grumblings out there, guys. Alex Caruso. Yeah. Fourth now on guards for the West.
That's amazing. I bet that's amazing.
Right. I mean, Laker love, the America's team, right? We talked about it. But, you know, how are you feeling? Are you guys great? Are you guys good if he makes the All-Star team or what?
He should make it.
He should make it.
I mean, look, I mean, it's a popularity contest, so I think it would be amazing for him. I definitely think he's done everything he can to earn an opportunity. You know, is he the best player? You know, is he taking somebody's spot? You know, is there a better player? You know, better player than him? Again, the fact that it's a popularity contest, he's playing well. We personally have watched him on the G League. As well as in the show with the Lakers. I mean, I think it'd be definitely something that you cannot say he did not earn. And the fact that people are recognizing him, and you know, they're not just they're probably Laker fans, but they're not just from LA. I think that's an amazing thing, for him to make it. If he does.
What do you think, Pat?
Honestly, that'll be a good story for him and his, like, you know, his career. But at the real, I mean, it's like, because for the rest of his life, he's going to be, like, all-star, you know, Alex Caruso. And you know damn well. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's some other people out there who work hard for these, like, you know, if we'll play for the Lakers and get, like, all the votes. And he's literally looking at fools like Dame Lillard and stuff like that. Like, you know, got more votes over him. And you know, to a man, he ain't even, like, one quarter of the talent. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love me some Caruso. And I, you know, I love
Let's be honest, right? Let's be honest. We're edgy. We're professional fans here, so we have to be honest.
It's a mockery. It's a mockery. And also, like, okay, like, so going back to what we're talking about, the Laker brand, and you have – Anthony Davis. I think Anthony Davis this time, like 2 years ago when he was playing and the voting, I think he had something around 2 million votes. Well, this time around, with playing for the Lakers, he has 4 million votes. So it's literally the Laker fans worldwide is pushing these fools into it. So I think that as long as he doesn't get top two, so he doesn't get, like, automatic. Then let the coaches work it out. Like, let the coach say, you know, well, thank you, son. You almost made it, though, but you're not going to be on this team. Like, you know. But if he gets to, like, the second place, then he got to start. Caruso starts in the All-Star. This is ridiculous. Like, that don't even sound right. As much as I like the Bald Eagle. That doesn't
Caruso. Show.
Hey, it's the Bald Mamba, man. Get it right.
He's a man of many names.
He got the goat. He got bald. The bald mamba.
I think he has eagle. A couple MVP champs too.
AC Fresh.
When you heard those MVP chants for Alex Caruso, it was like I had to roll my eye. Like I had to be like, what are we doing here? Like, so everybody could get the MVP chant. Like before, you had to earn. Like, remember Kobe was the first one that goes.
Is that disrespectful to Kobe? Is that disrespectful?
Exactly. People were mad. Like, people were mad. Remember when Kobe would go into somebody's gym and get an MVP chance? Yeah, and people were mad at the people that were in the whole crowd. Like, what are you guys doing? Chanting MVP for Kobe.
Excellent.
But it was like, okay, but then the next year, I got hurt. You know? I'm sorry.
Perfect.
You don't get the MVP chant when you average it. 9 points a game. Dude. I don't care how hard you dunk. I don't care how scrappy you are.
They're having fun. They're having fun.
Hey, but you know, I'll tell you this. You know, I was looking at his score. He was plus 15 tonight.
Yeah.
So, you know, and guess what LeBron was? Plus 2.
There you go. All right, guys.
Who made more of an impact? LeBron had 31 and 12, but he was only plus 2. That's all I'm saying.
We'll leave it at that, guys. We'll leave it at that. All right, guys, this has been great. As always, again, the Profanity Nation podcast. Be sure to follow us at the Profanity Nation on Instagram, at the Profanity Nation on Twitter, theprofanitynation.com online. And of course, please call our fan hotline at 877-311-FANS. Really quick before we leave here, Michael, why don't you just go ahead and remind everybody about the contest we have on our website?
Again, it's Going Strong Trivia Thursday. Had a great question again. I actually stumped a couple of people. I love stumping people. Yeah, it's going really good. Give us a like and a follow. T-shirts go out to you. And then you have an opportunity to win courtside seats with the South Bay Lakers, which is going to be a great experience. It's going to be against the Oklahoma Blue. I'm pretty confident LeVar will probably be in town. And, you know, it's going to be a good night. You know, it's always a good show at a South Bay Lakers game.
Excellent. Yeah, absolutely. Always fun. All right, people, be sure to keep track. Look out for our new podcast. We are going to be releasing a special podcast, a trivia edition podcast, which is going to be really fun. It's actually going to be a video cast, so you guys will see that video on YouTube as well. So, again, make sure to follow us at The Profanity Nation on Instagram, Twitter, or online at theprofanitynation.com. All right, guys, you have a wonderful night. We'll see each other again for the next podcast. We'll watch the Lakers. And until then, Laker for life.
Profanity Nation.
Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simpster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town. Yeah,
it's the Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.